Welcome to Redmond Radio. I'm your host, Michael Domingo, editor of mcpmag.com, and I thank you for listening. Here's what we'll cover in this episode for the first week, July 2nd. A federal judge sides with Microsoft on Google's desktop search complaint. Microsoft sells a $500 Vista PC in India, and the much-anticipated iPhone launches. Plus an interview with Moonwalk CEO Peter Harvey on data migration and storage issues. With that, let's head to the first break here on Redmond Radio. Welcome back, and thanks for listening to Redmond Radio, the weekly podcast roundup of Microsoft news and other IT happenings. Let's get right to it with news from Redmond Magazine. In the ongoing desktop search death match between Google and Microsoft that we told you about last time, Microsoft filed a brief last Monday, essentially calling Google's memos to federal judge Colleen Collar-Cotelli in an attempt to establish itself as the, quote, 20th plaintiff. Collar-Cotelli responded, siding with Microsoft, and essentially commenting that Google is not a party in this case. Judge Collar-Cotelli oversees Microsoft's efforts to comply with the 2002 anti-compete ruling, and Google is trying to argue that Microsoft's remedies to open Vista desktop search up to open to competitors doesn't go far enough. The next community technology preview for Windows Server 2008 was released last week, making it appear increasingly likely that the successor to Windows Server 2003 will be shipped early next year. The CTP release comes almost exactly 2 months after the Beta 3 release. Beta 3 was nearly feature complete, so there won't be a lot of new bells and whistles in the CTP. Still, there is the addition of a core server role as a web server. Microsoft this week is selling what it's calling an affordable Windows computer aimed at students in India. Still, it appears pricey even by U.S. standards at $500. Microsoft is teaming up with Advanced Micro Devices and Indian PC maker Zenith Computers on the $500 IQ PC, which runs the most basic version of Windows Vista and comes with the Office Suite and programs to help students practice English and prepare for exams. The IQ PC went on sale Sunday. We've got some partner news this week. First, there's a news of downgrade rights, which is the process partners go through to get customers Vista-loaded computers reconfigured with Windows XP. Microsoft partners so far have been having to go through some problematic steps to downgrade, which even involves contacting Microsoft customer service by phone for each computer that needs to be downgraded. A Microsoft executive has confirmed that Microsoft is close to offering a first step to help remedy the problem for its managed partners. The company will be offering a fix for the broad channel sometime later for Vista. Microsoft is naming Kirill Tatarinov its top business solutions executive, according to documents examined by Redmond Channel Partner. Tatarinov's ascension will doubtless surprise many Microsoft business solutions partners who anticipated that MBS long-timer and Microsoft corporate VP Tammy Reller would get the job. Reller joined Microsoft by way of that company's acquisition of Great Plains Software 6 years ago. Tatarinov came to Microsoft in 2002 from BMC Software, where he was senior VP and CTO. He had co-founded and served as chief architect and head of R&D for Patrol Software. A hacker managed a rare feat last Wednesday, successfully attacking a web page within Microsoft's UK domain and replacing the page with several graphics related to Saudi Arabia. The hacked page was a UK events page that has since been fixed. According to the security site Zone H, a SQL injection attack is the likely culprit. And finally, employees who work in Microsoft's Security Response Center can breathe easy. They don't have the worst job in science. Only the sixth worst. The magazine Popular Science has ranked what it calls the worst 10 jobs in the scientific field. And workers at the MSRC were listed just about in the middle. The article describes their jobs this way. Quote, the people manning secure at Microsoft.com receive approximately 100,000 dings a year. Each one a message that something in the Microsoft empire may have gone terribly wrong. Unquote. And that's news from Redmond. After this break, we've got an interview with Peter Harvey, CEO of Moonwalk, here on Redmond Radio.
Eu vou pra Oslo, pra sair no Oslo do Mundo. Bloco Asfo, da terra do bacalhau.
Welcome back, and thanks listening to Redmond Radio. This week I have an interview with Moonwalk CEO Peter Harvey, who called from his home in Brisbane, Australia, to talk about Moonwalk 6 when it was released back in April this year. Here's an excerpt with Peter where he talked about the problems that middleware can pose to data migration issues and how agent-based systems have developed a bad reputation that's undeserving.
I don't want to make a mistake and mislabel your product. Would you say you fit into the storage resource management space?
It's more file management space, but the impact is storage management.
Yeah, so how does that differ? Who do you compete with, really?
Well, all the HSM vendors we would compete with. So the Legatos of this world, for example, Archivio, Veritas, Enigma Data Technologies out of... So essentially anybody in the data management space, some of the backup vendors are also putting data migration add-ons into their technology. But once again, every other product in the world uses middleware.
And that's, I guess that's what you would say would probably be the primary benefit of a product like yours, is dismissing the middleware layer.
Well, see, once you take the middleware out, you're removing a whole raft of issues. You're removing the primary investment of having to buy the middleware. You're removing the ongoing cost of having to maintain the middleware. And let's say your middleware's only got databases, you've got to keep those things up to date all the time. So there's a definite overhead. The middleware also has severe limitations on scaling. It introduces a point of failure. You take that middleware out, you can't get to your data. You're stuck. By not having the middleware, by having a technology where the knowledge about the data objects is held within the objects themselves out in the ether, and having extremely lightweight agent which can be deployed in a snap, doesn't need servers to be rebooted, open and just starts running, it's a totally non-intrusive solution which can be up and running straight away. For example, our most recent installation, we had sign-off. It was signed off and running at the end of the first day. So we're talking about speed of deployment, reduction of cost, removal of points of failure, and really important for enterprises, scalability. We scale. The only things that impact Moonwalk's performance in the enterprise is the speed of the network and the feed and speed of the devices.
Your technology is agents. They basically have a bad rap or a bad reputation. How would you say your product benefits by using an agent-based system?
We use agent technology. We use agents, and agents have got a bad name in the industry, and rightly so, because agents have become something else. I can remember when the agent concept was first created. They were named agents because what an agent? You picture a guy that's lightweight, drops in, does the job, and gets out. You know, no baggage.
Yeah.
That's an agent.
Yeah.
The agents have become too intelligent or loaded down with rules. So the agents of most technologies now have become more like bag ladies.
So they're not a typical. I mean, what you would typically see as an agent, honestly, if anything, they shouldn't really impact performance. But in this particular case, it's an agent that doesn't.
No.
Okay. So
what's evolved? Because people, I think, a lot of the technology, the trend has been over the years for all the rules and all this intelligence in the agents, and they're dragging all this stuff around with them. It gets to the point where most technologies, if you deploy an agent to a server, for example, you have to restart that server, reboot the server. That's nuts.
Yeah.
So what we've sort of reinvented the agent as what it was, a fleet of foot, lightweight, does its job, doesn't intrude, And so when you deploy an agent, for example, with a Moonwalk, you just open it and start running.
Okay.
There is no you never have to reboot with our system. Okay, cool.
And then that's what I would do. I would just put that in the front of the comments you made, if you think that was, I thought that was a fairly solid explanation, so.
Yeah, well, and I think the reference, you know, I think comparing, you know, for the listeners, the agent, you know, the James Bond type agent, as opposed to the bag lady, you know, and it's quite a graphic description, but that really does encapsulate the issue.
Okay, yeah, I think so. That's what I typically think of when I think of agent-based systems, are that, you know, they're usually very loaded down, and they do impact performance in some ways, and even just, efficiencies. So.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So.
And I guess. Second.
Oh, I was going to just say if there's any other questions that you were thinking of that we may have missed also, and that I could put those in.
Probably the other thing is to people talk about rules-based file management, rules-based data management.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's worth noting that our rules engine is a very important component of Moonwalk, but the rules engine, the rules can be as crude or as finite and discrete as you wish. And so we have a very powerful rules engine which allows organizations to highly articulate how they want their data to be managed, placed, and associated. So essentially, using a rules engine, you can take all this unstructured stuff in the front end and put back in the secondary storage or in another tier, have it logically grouped according to how the organization wants it for issues of compliance and governance.
Okay. So basically, the Moonwalk is highly customizable with the rules-based file management.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And it's also proactive. So we don't wait. We're not driven by, I need more disk to do something. It's a proactive thing. The organization takes control of their data, takes control of how they want to manage their data, and writes the rules accordingly and deploys them automatically according to when and how they want to deploy them. Just happens in the background. Users aren't even aware of it.
So there's no impact on performance either?
We haven't seen it. I guess if you're putting files across a WAN somewhere, there would be a delay to get them back, but it's purely an aspect of the WAN network speeds, and any other type of data management system would have the same issue. That's really the only factor, speeds and feeds of devices.
You can check out the full interview with Peter by going online to the last link listed for this podcast at mcpmag.com. To find out more about Moonwalk 6 and evaluate the software, go to www.moonwalkinc.com. That's MoonwalkInc.com. We'll return with more news from the rest of the IT world after this quick break here on Redmond Radio. Thanks once again for listening to Redmond Radio. If you're getting some value from this show, be sure to tell your fellow systems admins about this podcast. I sure hope you enjoyed the interview with Peter Harvey. It's only about 6 minutes, at least the excerpt is, and you can listen to more of it online. And yes, those phone recordings are a little difficult to listen to, but we'll see what we can do to improve them. Now, a few notes regarding what's online on the Redmond Media Group websites. The July 2007 issue of Redmond Magazine online looks at Linux and Windows. Redmond Channel Partner this month looks at Bill Gates and the impact he has on the channel. And in Redmond Developer News, check out Thomas Kaywood's report on Vista and the security of business apps on Microsoft's newest OS. And one more note, remember that I do give away a Redmond t-shirt to one lucky listener. Be sure to listen to the end of this podcast to find out how you can enter the weekly drawing. Now let's check out what's on the IT Newswire. It's a veritable potpourri from all corners. First, Quest Software said it will acquire ScriptLogic, a provider of Windows-based network management solutions for roughly $90 million in cash. Quest is acquiring a company that generated $20 million in revenue during 2006 with a clientele of 19,000-plus small and medium-sized companies. The deal will beef up Quest's already hefty muscle in the Windows client and server arena and help ScriptLogic reach Quest's broader worldwide customer base. Shipping this month, a maintenance update for Novell's SUSE Linux Enterprise Real-Time that will enhance performance, incorporate high availability storage and processor support, and provide support for the Open Fabrics Enterprise Distribution 1.2 server and storage connectivity standard. The upgrade precedes the next iteration of SUSE Linux Enterprise Real-Time, which Novell is currently developing. The next version will focus on latency and performance for both applications with fewer threads, as well as massively threaded apps with low latency requirements. Google is entering a partnership with Ingram Micro to distribute the Google Search Appliance and the Google Mini, according to a Google blog entry last Wednesday. The Google Search Appliance crawls and indexes an enterprise's content for data in 220 file formats in 109 languages for quick retrieval via search. The devices are aimed at medium and large enterprises and start at $30,000. The Google Mini, designed for smaller organizations, starts at $1,995. That's $1,995. Virtual Lab Maker, Sergient, will add support for VMware ESX Server 3 and Microsoft Virtual Server 2005 R2 SP1 to its Virtual Lab Management applications. Virtual Lab Management applications is an upgrade to a trio of products: the Sergient Virtual QA Test Lab Management System, which provides centralized management of virtual labs; the Sergient Virtual Training Lab Management System, meant for educational and training lab environments; and the Sergient Virtual Demo Lab Management System, which is primarily for salespeople in the field who use it for software demonstrations and evaluations. Pricing begins at $35,000. And how about one more from the product bin? The iPhone went on sale last Friday. But you already knew that, and I think that's all I'm going to say about it this week. One earnings news item: Oracle Corporation's fiscal fourth quarter profit rose 23%, earning $1.6 billion or 31 cents per share for the 3 months ended in May. The company said net income at the same time last year was $1.3 billion or 24 cents per share. The quarter marks the sixth consecutive quarter in which Oracle's profit has surged by at least 20%. New internet addresses, including those entirely in foreign languages, are under review by a key oversight agency. The Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers scheduled several discussion sessions in San Juan, Puerto Rico, on separate proposals to more rapidly expand the pool of domain name suffixes, the .com part of an email or web address, and to permit non-English characters for the first time. Engineers will also continue work on tests to make sure the non-English scripts won't disrupt users' abilities to send email and reach websites. Nonsensical strings will be entered into the retrofitted domain name system and can be quickly removed if trouble arises. And finally, nearly 43% of more than 600 IT and business professionals from various industries are already using open source software, according to a 2007 open source software survey conducted by Actuate Corporation. The survey queried professionals in North America, the UK, and Germany. The survey showed that 23.6% of respondents were currently using open source BI, and that 31.6% were likely or very likely to evaluate using it. Some other interesting results of the survey: among 192 financial services professionals who took the survey, 49% already use open source, and 29.8% are already using open source BI. Among all respondents, more than half noted open source as their preferred software option, or they considered it an option when buying. That said, 12.5% have a no open source software policy. Finally, 60.6% cited the absence of licensing fees as a major benefit of using open source software. And that's what made headlines last week here on Redmond Radio. As usual, before we go, I'd like to remind faithful Redmond Radio listeners that you can win a Redmond t-shirt in my weekly t-shirt giveaway. It's real simple to enter. Just send me email at mdomingo@1105media.com. That's mdomingo at 1105media.com with Redmond t-shirt on the subject line of your message. This week's winner is Jim in Ohio. Thanks for listening, and congratulations to you, Jim, and good luck to all you other listeners next time. And speaking of next time, I do hope you catch me here each and every week here on Redmond Radio. I'm Michael Domingo, and I do thank you for listening.